Penny for those thoughts.
Oh, I was thinking I'm glad we're going home, Roger. I hope this summer has given us both ample time to think this thing out.
Well, actually, darling, we have too much invested in this marriage. 10 years cannot be dispelled by one summer.
Well, that isn't exactly what I meant, but... Oh, let's listen to the radio, shall we?
I hope we've had an end to this sulking and...
What was that, Roger? Felt like we hit something.
Nonsense, I ran off the road.
Oh, Roger, please, slow down. Roger, listen. Sounds like a woman screaming. Oh, please, please, let's go back. I'm sure you've hit something.
I didn't hear anything, Kay. I'm sure we didn't hit anything.
This is the CBS Radio Workshop, the theater of the mind dedicated to man's imagination. Our story, Grief Drives a Black Sedan, stars Alice Frost and Lee Vines, written, produced, and directed by D. Engelbach.
Should have gone back.
Kay, none of your hysterics now. Please, we...
I'm sure we must...
Oh, just be quiet.
You realize how fast you were going?
Yes, officer. I was going 40 miles an hour, and that doesn't really seem like an excessive amount of speed to me.
It is in a 25-mile zone. Although you can't see it from the road, this area is quite thickly populated. There are always children about. Can I see your driver's license?
Hey, Tom.
Hmm?
Look here a moment.
Okay.
Roger,
Shut
do you think
up,
they really...
Shut up, Kay. There's nothing these state police would rather do than to stop a car with a New York state license. And I was only going 40 miles an hour.
I'm afraid it's more serious than that.
More serious than what?
Move over, please.
Say, what's all this about?
I'm taking you to the police barracks in Westport.
What have we done, officer?
That's for you to tell me, madam. You see, your front left fender is dented.
Is that a crime in this state?
We'll have to find out. You see, around that dent is blood.
Captain, I'd like to see you in his office.
May I come along, Roger?
No, darling. You stay out of this. I'll find out what this is all about.
Roger, remember...
Stay out of this. I'll be back in a moment.
Sit down, please. You are Roger Wickens, 25 Park Plaza Road, New York City?
Yes, I am. What's this all about?
I'm returning your driver's license and your car registration. We've checked the New York police. You've not had any previous accident record. What happened tonight, Mr. Wickens?
What do you mean, what happened? I drove up here from New York City to take my wife home. She's been summering up here, and that's all there is to it. And I want you to stop treating me like a criminal. I was driving down Cross Highway when the police stopped me for driving 40 miles an hour.
Excuse me. Yes. Yeah. Well, keep checking. Check every hospital within 25 miles. When you finish that, check all the doctor's residents in the vicinity. Send someone to retrace Cross Highway. Yes. Well, I think you'll find somewhere, not too far from where the Wickens car was stopped, some blood stains and possible pieces of glass. Report back as soon as possible. Yet, who? Oh, Doc's out there. We'll send him in.
Captain, what about this? Are we under arrest?
Well, there are two ways we can do this. We can technically arrest you for driving 40 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone. Or of your own volition, you can wait until all these things check out. Look, I think you're in trouble. I think you've hit somebody and run away from the accident.
Of all the stupid things that I've ever heard of, I've...
Oh, hello. Hello, Captain. Okay, what is it? Oh, excuse me.
Hello, Doc. Well, what will it be, Mr. Wickens?
I'll wait. What about my wife?
Well, she'd better wait, too.
He seems rather touchy.
Yeah. Doc, why don't you take some blood samples, run them through the lab, report back to me as soon as you can. I believe this is a case of hit and run. I want to have all my facts.
Another no-cooperation guy, huh?
That's right, Doc. They never learn, do they?
Cigarette?
Thanks, Tom. Roger, did you tell them?
Tell them what?
Oh, please, darling. Remember when we ran off the road, I told you I thought I heard a woman scream.
Kay, I did not hear a woman scream, and I did not hit anything. This is all a fantastic nightmare. It seems it started when you came up here. There was no reason for all of this. We should have gone to Europe this summer and behaved like two mature people. 10 years of marriage, and we're still trying to figure out whether or not it will work.
It's not going to work, Roger. I believe this was all for a reason tonight. I believe we're both in trouble.
Nonsense.
Roger, we must share that responsibility.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Kay, what responsibility?
The blood on the fender.
Hello. Yes. You found what? Where?
Bayberry Lane. Let me get this down. Bayberry Lane and Cross Highway. Yeah, I'm a regular Sherlock Holmes. How'd I know what? Never mind about that. No one at the house, huh? Will you stay there? Keep calling in. No, Doc's still working. There's nothing to report here. Wickens denies everything. Okay, stay with him. Ryan.
You want me to send out for some coffee?
Oh, no, thank you.
Well, it's past midnight. Eddie and Joanne said they would wait at the Maroc until 1. What a wonderful homecoming party this turned out to be.
Well, you win the Superficiality Award for the year. Eddie and Joanne, the Maroc, the whole stupid, silly pattern. Roger, don't you realize you may have killed someone tonight?
Kay, let's stop this bickering, this hammering at each other. I did not hit anyone tonight. Now, starting with that premise, let's see if we can discuss intelligently our own problems.
This is not the time nor the place. Actually, Roger, there is no problem. I'm leaving you. I don't blame you, Roger. I really don't know whose fault it is. Perhaps it's mine.
Oh, no. No, it's mine. All I've ever done was given in to every little whim you ever had.
Have you, Roger? Oh, yes. You've given me things. Money. A beautiful home. And, oh, so much loneliness. Good are possessions. Oh, I know this sounds trite and very cliché. But I'm tired, Roger. We've failed. I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know where we really started to grow apart. I just want out.
Well, darling, as usual, your timing is superb. I'm up to my neck in trouble because of you.
Oh, please. No more of the comparisons, no more recriminations. Until we know what's happened here, let's just wait. Wait. Wait.
Yes, Tom. You did. A signed statement. Feels pretty bad, huh? Yeah. What about the charges? Mine does. Hold it a minute, Tom. Paul, have Doc call me. Yes, Tom, you were saying? Hit about 10 o'clock. Dead, huh? It's too bad. Yeah, right. Doc, drop your test. We have all we want. Okay, Tom, get back here as fast as you can. Right. Paul, bring that Wiggins guy in here.
It's 1:30. Roger, why don't you ask the captain if they found out anything?
Yes, I guess you're right. I will.
Mr. Wickens?
Yes.
Officer, what have you found out?
Mr. Wickens, the captain wants to see you.
Right.
With 10 years. Can you write it off? Can you forget it? 10 years and you look at someone, and that someone you've known for 10 years, and you realize, oh, this night, this long night, what have we done? 10 years. 10 whole years. What do you do with memories? Just lock them in a safety deposit box? Or do you tie them up neatly in pink ribbons and burn them? What do you do with plans? Those blueprints for the future? And what do you do with love? The community property of love. Split down the middle. And shared by no one. 10 years. 10 years. 10 years. Sorry, darling, I must have dozed off.
Yes, about an hour. Don't be sorry. I needed the time to think. Kay, I must talk to you.
Oh, haven't we had enough talk for one night?
Just a bit more patience, darling. A cigarette?
Roger, for heaven's sake, what's happened?
Kay, I must tell you this in my own way. And for whatever love you once had for me, please hear me out. I want you to know...
No, Roger, please.
I want you to know this is no plea for any kind of sympathy. I know, Kay, why our marriage failed. You see, believe me, this isn't easy. I know I'm a coward. Tonight, I did hit something. More than that, I took a life.
Roger, no.
Please, darling, let me finish this. All my life, I've been hitting and telling myself that I didn't hit. All my life, I've been running away. All my life, I've been a coward.
Oh,
I wonder how much I've lost in love, respect, friendship. I wonder how much of myself has been sacrificed so carelessly, so needlessly, because I didn't take time to stop and go back to pick up that which I had hit. You see, darling, I guess I've always been driving 40 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone. And the ironical part about this whole thing is that the police were not going to arrest me for speeding, but merely warned me to take it easy. I guess maybe help of any kind has always made me angry, and truth always hurt my ears.
Roger, darling, would you please...
I know I killed tonight, needlessly, carelessly. And Kay, I want you to hear this letter the captain just gave me. And I want you to know, darling, that no more do I blame everybody else for my emptiness. To the man who killed my dog. I hope you were going someplace important when you drove so fast down Cross Highway across Bayberry Lane tonight. I hope that when you got there, the time you saved by speeding meant something to you or somebody else. Maybe we'd feel better if we could imagine that you were a doctor rushing somewhere to deliver a baby or ease somebody's pain. The life of our dog to shorten someone's suffering, that mightn't have been so bad. But even though all we saw of you was the black shadow of your car and its jumping red taillights as you roared down the road, we know too much about you to believe it. You saw the dog. You stepped on your brakes. You felt a thump. You heard a yelp and then my wife's scream. Your reflexes are better than your heart and stronger than your courage. We know that. Because you jumped on the gas again and got out of there as fast as your car could carry you. Whoever you are, mister, and whatever you do for a living, we know you are a killer. And in your hands, driving the way you drove tonight, your car is a murder weapon. You didn't bother to look, so I'll tell you what the thump and the yelp were. They were Vicky, a 6-month-old Basset puppy, white with brown and black markings. An aristocrat with 12 champions among her 4 bears. But she clowned and she chased and she loved people and kids and other dogs as much as any mongrel on earth. I'm sorry you didn't stick around to see the job you did, though a dog dying by the side of the road isn't a very pretty sight. In less than 2 seconds, you and that car of yours transformed a living being that had been beautiful, warm, clean, soft, and loving
into something dirty, ugly, broken and bloody. A poor, shocked, mad thing that tried to sink its teeth into the hand it had nuzzled and licked all its life. I hope to God that when you hit my dog, you had for a moment the sick, dead feeling in the throat and down to the stomach that we've known ever since. And that you feel it whenever you think about speeding down a winding country road again. Because the next time some 8-year-old boy might be wobbling along on his first bicycle, or a very little one might wander out past the gate and into the road the moment it takes his father to bend down to pull a weed out of the driveway. The way my puppy got away from me. Or maybe you'll be real lucky again and only kill another dog and break the heart of another family. Signed, Richard Joseph, Westport, Connecticut. Well, Kay, that's it. No charges. No arrest. No.
Roger. Oh, darling. Please. Let's go home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the state of New York, Averill Harriman.
Thoughtlessness and irresponsibility go hand in hand and cause far too many tragedies on our highways. The thoughtless driver who ignores traffic regulations, hoping to get away with it, hides behind the idea, no witness, no crime. But too often, this leads down a road of final accounting. Only by constant care, courtesy, and observance of the rules of the road can you be sure of avoiding the day when grief drives your car and brings tragedy to your family or that of another. The streamlined, high-powered automobiles of today demand of us the same intelligence and care in handling that has gone into their design. This weekend and in the future, I appeal to everyone to drive carefully, drive safely, assure a happy holiday for all.
You've been listening to the CBS Radio Workshop, Grief Drives a Black Sedan, written by D. Engelbach. A Letter to the Man Who Killed My Dog is from the book of the same title, written by Richard Joseph and published by Frederick Fell. Today's cast, Alice Frost, Lee Vines, Ralph Bell, Bill Mason, Larry Haynes, Jay Johnson. Next week from Hollywood, People Are No Good. Ted Pearson speaking.
This is the CBS Radio Network.